Art Majors with our three heroes, Dutters.
What's up?
And Aaron, Spider Facts Early. Say hello, Aaron.
Hi.
And Adam, the guy who's kind of trying to run the show here. Anyway,
with the headphones.
Yeah, I'm the only one with headphones.
That's right, yeah. Low budget this shit.
So last week's episode was pretty crazy, even though it was really like 5 minutes ago.
Time efficiency, man.
I mean, time travel's like amazing. Yeah, Dutters, how do you feel about time travel?
It's a bitch.
Time travel's a bitch. Yeah. That should be our sign off. We need a sign off. Time travel's a bitch. There you go.
Oh, God. All right. Well, okay. You know what? I'm going to open with a joke. I think we need to.
Yeah, I heard you got a joke. I heard you.
All right. This is a terrible joke.
His lady begged. Begged. Demand. For this
joke. This is kind of a long joke. It's a story joke. It's a terrible joke.
It's not the stick joke?
No, it's not the stick joke. No. Wait.
Before we get into this, I am a week later drinking Angry Orchard Hard Apple Cider, Sinful Ale, Sinful Apple. And let me tell you, it's a cinnamon-flavored apple ale. Not very good. Do not really care for it, but it was kind of a gift, so thank you for that. Aaron, what do you got?
Richard Dutters, James, was kind enough.
Well, now they know who I am.
Oh, shit.
Well, they don't know what order.
Exactly. This tastes like applesauce.
He gave me a Newcastle of the Black Ale Caddy variety.
Last week I had a Newcastle, but this is a different kind of Newcastle.
It is.
Yeah, I've not had this one yet. It's surprisingly smoky, and that's the only descriptive adjective I got.
It's got a little bit more of a kick to it. It's not quite as watery. For me, it's not quite. I'm drinking the same thing, the Newcastle Cabby, also on sale at Kroger.
Did they pay for that? They didn't pay for that.
Don't give them a free.
You know what? If Kroger wants people to know their weekly specials, they go talk to Joe Bruno. Go talk Joe Bruno. You say, "Hey, Joe Bruno, I want to tell you about my weekly specials and put it up on OakCityHustle.com."
Anyway, it's definitely a darker beer than their the regular Newcastle. But anyway,
this joke.
All right, Quasimodo,
the hunchback.
The hunchback, the bell ringer of Notre Dame. He leaves.
Right.
And so the priest needs to find someone to ring the bells. So he puts out a wanted ad. Next day, gets a knock on the door. Opens the door. There's a guy standing there. No arms. Guy says, "I come here to apply for the job to ring the bells." He's like, "All right, well, okay." Takes him up to the bell tower, and what he does, he gets back, takes off running, smashes into the bells with his face. Most beautiful sound the priest has ever heard. Does this, keeps ringing the bells with his face. The last bell misses, flies out the side of Notre Dame, plummets onto the square. The priest gets down there, there's a crowd gathered around the band.
Wait, the armless man dies.
The armless man dies.
He's dead.
He falls out of the
bell. There's a crowd at his body.
He falls out of the bell tower.
It looks like the last scene in Tim Burton's Batman.
Yes.
Got it.
Minus the laughing.
So, priest gets down there. Man, crowd is gathered around the man. Guy looks up. "Father, did you know this man?" "No. But his face rings a bell." But wait, there's more. So the next day, there's a knock on his door. He opens the door, and there's another man with no arms. He says, I've come here as my brother who died yesterday, ringing the bells, and I'd like to ring the bells in his honor. The priest is like, "All right." Kind of knows what's coming. He walks him up to the bell tower. And again, same method. Runs, rings the bells with his face. Absolutely ludicrous. But on the last bell, misses, falls to his death. Absolutely tragic. The priest gets down to the square, and again, the crowd has gathered. Man looks up and says, "Father, did you know this man?" "No, but he's a dead ringer for his brother." And that is the ultimate bad dad joke right
there.
That is
a dad joke.
It's an incredible dad joke. That joke actually came from my father. So I can attest that is indeed a dad joke. When my dad first told me this joke, we were in a car ride. And I think my dad was able to draw this thing out for like 35 minutes. The worst part was, I was so young, I didn't understand what any of those phrases meant. Like, so just, face rings a bell and dead ringer for his brother. Didn't know what they meant. So my dad delivers these punchlines. He starts laughing to himself because it's a dad joke, so he's going to chuckle.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going,
"Where's my applesauce?
Get this. Apparently, we just passed here McDonald's. In this friggin' can we bottle. Get, get something?"
I got a dad joke. How do you kill a blue elephant?
With a blue bullet?
With a blue elephant gun. How do you kill a pink elephant?
Pink elephant gun?
You hold its nose until it turns blue, then shoot it with the blue elephant gun.
I have heartburn now.
In that case,
I know, right?
In that case, what's brown and sticky? A stick.
All right. You know what? Now that we've officially lost our whole listening audience,
all
we can say
them.
Whatever we
wait,
want.
Wait. You've really got to hand it to those blind hookers.
And now we are down to no listeners.
Oh, my God.
We're officially free. Oh, we can say whatever we
that
want.
That was ridiculous.
Oh, that was terrible. That was really bad.
Oh, my God.
All right. This show is called Damn Art Majors. We want to try to drive this conversation a little bit towards art. I don't know how we're going to do that. But
because of last week's comments that we got somewhere in person in the kitchen over there that said you guys didn't talk anything about art. The podcast is called Damn Art Majors Didn't Talk About Art. But we talked about fucking spiders.
This wasn't the only thing.
We should dip some spiders in paint and let them go at it on canvas. That would be fucking cool.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Actually, no, you do like a line of paint and then force the spiders across it so they create little trails with their legs. And then Aaron can explain to us the entomology behind that.
And we'll call it Forging the River.
So this is why nobody really talks about art.
Generally, when I find someone starts talking about art, they do an incredible job of sounding like a pompous ass.
You know what, though? I just listened to, and I have to shout this out. Obviously, one of the reasons we're doing this podcast is I'm quite a podcast fan. And there was a fan-fucking-tastic interview with Kevin Smith and Neil Adams, the illustrator and writer of primarily DC Comics as well as some Marvel stuff between like the 70s and 80s. He was the one who really brought comic books into social political moves. He was the one who made Speedy Green Arrow's sidekick a heroin addict. He was the one who had the Green Arrow, Green Lantern comic series where they discuss like racial issues in the U.S., Great fucking storyteller. This guy, like, when he goes on one of his stories, it's like listening to the best audiobook. Do yourself a favor. If you want to learn some fucking art, if you want to learn some stuff, check out the first interview of Fat Man on Batman with Neil Adams. Yeah. Awesome title, too.
Fat Man being Kevin Smith, of course.
Of course. We all could have saved ourselves a lot of time had we just listened to this man and his views.
I haven't listened to it. Have you listened to this, Aaron?
No.
Both of us might pretend to listen to this, and we'll talk about it next time.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth listening. At least, right. It's a three-parter, so, like, if you don't really
Holy
care about,
shit.
Like, the comic history and stuff, like, you know, me, but you're interested in, like, what it's like to go to art school and why you should go to art school, check out at least the first Fat Man on Batman with Neil Adams. Another really awesome podcast I've checked out is called Art and Story. It's two comic book illustrators who primarily work in kid-friendly indie comics, and they break down sequential art from a writing point of view, from an illustrative point of view, from colors to covers. Really good stuff. And if you've ever had interest in creating your own indie comic or whatever, that would be a really great thing to listen to. Unlike this, which is not very funny right now. But you know what?
For all of you who didn't know, Adam is the one who is really hardcore into his comics.
I have just letting you know.
I felt like the NPR voice.
What was that?
NPR voice is definitely needed for this explanation. Thank you.
At NB2CR? God, that rolls off the fucking tongue. No Big 2 Comic Review. Ah!
Sounds like one of the droids from Star Wars.
These aren't the droids.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Well, you're promoting the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty much telling people turn us out.
It's really good to talk about other resources for.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I'm at work, I spend at least 40 hours a week listening to other people talk via headphones, because I kind of got burnt out on music when you do nothing but listen to music for 40 hours a week for like 3 years straight, even though they're your favorite bands, when I get burnt fucking out. So I discovered podcasts, and you know, especially when you work in a quiet environment and people aren't really talking to one another, at least your mind's engaged, unless you're listening to damn art majors.
Well, I actually that brings up, I think, what we do, the three of us do, because all three of us gainfully employed.
We all have shiny pieces of paper hanging on our walls and frames.
But at the same time, we all have pieces of paper on our frames that say art.
They do.
On them.
I actually haven't opened mine yet. It's still in the envelope.
Okay.
Keeping it fresh.
So,
but you have it. You
all
right, have
my,
it.
My, the only it's, reason... Yeah, all right, the only,
God,
only
he's
reason.
Like the one who worked the hardest to get it, too.
Dude, yeah.
Double concentrating
and
shit.
The only reason mine's in a frame is because my mom was like, I don't know what the hell to get my 26-year-old son for Christmas. I'll frame his diploma.
There you go.
No, I really appreciate it. Thank you, Mom. I love you. You're awesome. Just in case she actually listens to this. No, she won't.
You're right there. Like we said in the last podcast, we do mostly work within our respective fields that we studied in. Should we repeat what we...
Let's go back over what we actually do.
All three of us do pretty different things.
Yeah, I'm, you know, got my concentration in animation interactive design, which led me to doing graphic design, motion graphics, and animation. So I like to describe it as I make the spinny things spin when it comes to video. Dutters over here.
I got my Bachelor of Fine Arts in sculpture, and for a while I worked for a local artist in Greenville, and then I now work for a small company in Raleigh doing trade show displays, corporate interiors, pretty much.
So you're a fabricator, is what
I mean, design builder is the fancy title they give me, but really I'm the shop guy.
If you haven't been able to tell, he's a little more blue collar than the rest of us.
you bring me something and I'll build it. I make it look good.
Well, like these fellows, I got my bachelor's fine arts, but I did painting and drawing, sculpture, and I minored in art history. And now what I'm doing is I'm a fabricator, like Richard. I make prosthetics and orthotics at a local practice here in Durham. And on the side, I try my best to do freelance illustration.
Like, you got your freelance stuff. I do prints that I have sold at conventions and made some pocket cash doing. And Dutters make some furniture and stuff. We all have our own things outside of, like, just work.
I don't do as much work in sculpture as I'd like to right now, probably because I just moved into a house with my...
Which we're actually in right now, and it's lovely.
With my significant other, and we have
really enjoyed the Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter curtains you've hung up. It's very British of you.
Yeah. Pinkies up. Mad props to my girlfriend. We just moved into a house, so I've had to rebuild a lot of furniture because we got a shitload more space than we had before. Also, I have to mention this because it might have come up in the last episode, but it definitely just came up. I have several names.
Dutters, you do.
You refer to me primarily as Dutters because you met me.
That's how I was introduced to you.
And I was a Dutters. Yeah. But Aaron actually met me before I was Dutters. He met me when I was still going by Richard, which is...
So you got Dick. You got Richie. You got Richard.
Oh, yeah, tons of nicknames for that. But then also, you have to forgive me. I'm getting over a little bit of a cold.
Man, you didn't even tell me that. I'm like all up on the microphone with you.
So not that it matters. Not that anyone...
No.
Which name do you actually prefer?
I really... Honestly, it's gotten to a point where I don't give a shit. Because right. I have so many different people calling me... My girlfriend calls me Richard. That's a lie. She actually has a pet name, but we're not going to mention that. She calls me Richard.
It's Mr. James.
My...
Mr. James!
My colleagues call me James, and... A fair amount of my friends from art school, even my professors, refer to me as Dudders, which is a lovely nickname that was bestowed upon me by two of my friends.
Right, who are not here.
Yeah, they're not easy.
No, I mean, they're of the mortal plane. Oh, they're
still alive. They're in this room.
Right.
Assholes.
Yeah.
No, they're great.
You know what, though? I think Dudders works, and like I said, like I'll probably never call you anything but.
Oh, it's fine. I really don't mind the name Dudders. I think honestly the reason I don't mind it is because it sounds like an odd version of my last name, which none of you will ever know because that's personal information.
They're gonna steal your identity and take out more fucking student loans on your name. Yeah, they're gonna
fucking shaft me harder than UNC Charlotte.
So no, but you've always had issues with your name. As far back as what do they call it? Grammar school.
As far back as kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
Yeah.
So lay this story down. Paint the picture, right. As we like to say. The picture.
So I've come from a fairly Catholic family, and we really love our biblical names. As a result, I was given the first name.
I remember St. Dudders. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the apostles.
Yeah.
Right up there after
Judas.
Yeah. Once Judas got kicked out, Dudders came in, man. Awesome dude, brought the keg, you know.
I have a St. Dudders candle in my vigil.
So in my family, we pretty much use the same names for all the men. James, John, Peter. I was given the name James Richard. But because I have an Uncle James, I have a great Uncle Jimmy, James is way too overused as a name. So I went by Richard. So I spent my earliest memories, my name was Richard. Well, when you sign up for school and you go to school, they use all legal documents, birth certificate, whatever. And all of my legal documents say I'm James, last name. So what happened in kindergarten, you know, not really able to write very well. We were all told to go find our seat. It had our name on it. And I'm looking around, and I find this seat.
How old are you at this point?
I'm in like kindergarten.
Kindergarten,
so like
four or five.
All right. However old you are in kindergarten. And I find this seat, and there's this name I don't recognize, but I recognize the last name. I went to a small
Catholic
school.
Did you think
school.
You had like a cousin in the same class?
No, I honestly don't remember really well exactly what I was thinking because I was in kindergarten. So I don't have the best memory. I've consumed a lot of alcohol since then.
Right.
And killed a lot of brain cells. But I do remember finding this name tag on the table and reading it and recognizing the last name but not recognizing the first name and immediately thinking, I didn't belong here. I was in the wrong place. And being a four-year-old, just overcome with fear, emotions, and I could feel the tears welling up.
And you're a man who doesn't cry. I don't think you're a four-year-old who cries either. So you must have been...
I was distraught.
Right.
And I walk up to the teacher, and I'm just like, I can't find my name. And she's like, oh, it's okay, sweetheart. You know, it's all right. We can figure this out. And, you know, he goes through the roster, and she's like, well, what's your name? My name's Richard. Okay, well, we've got... What's your last name? I tell her my last name. She's like, well, we've got a James here. And I'm like, no, that's not my name. She's like, well, it says James R. here. Well, I'm like, I'm pretty, and she said, well, why don't you just go sit in that seat for now and we'll figure this out later. Get home, first thing I do, Mom, what's my name? Oh, your name's James Richard. What?
Didn't know.
I didn't know my own name going into kindergarten. The one thing that kids are supposed to know.
How do you not know your name?
It never came up.
I blame your parents. That's bad parenting.
Well, I also didn't find out I had heart surgery until I went to my first pool party.
Whoa.
Dude, maybe it was a good thing. Maybe they just wanted to hide all this stuff before you could remember it.
Maybe they knew that they knew I enjoyed surprises. Maybe that's what it was. They were like, you know what? You know, let's just fuck with him. We're just gonna, like, let him find this shit out and just be, like, weirded out by
I love how experience. You had your first, like, triple bypass at, you know, 4.
It was not a triple bypass.
You got a stint put in.
Dude, I alright, I will admit, I enjoy a good side of beef, but no. Honestly.
I didn't know they made Bojangles flavored Gerber.
Yeah, Boberry Gerber.
For those of you that can't see us, I happen to be a little bit more portly than the other two cohorts on here.
It's bow time.
North Carolina! Fuck you.
Born and bred, right?
Hell yeah.
Both
man.
Of you are.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Winston-Salem.
I'm from the asshole of North Carolina, Fayetteville.
There you go. I am not. Hey.
Yeah, no, this guy sitting across from me is Adam. Is brought to us courtesy of the New Jersey Pit.
Yeah.
And then hails from the Florida penis.
Yeah, so born in Jersey, raised in Florida, somehow got to North Carolina. I like to say that actually as of like now, I've lived in the 3 states with the most corrupt politicians in this country. So maybe I bring it out in them. I don't know. But, yeah. All up on that East Coast.
I don't think you bring it out of them.
Hopefully not.
No.
What? Yep. So, any more spider news?
No. Fuck that shit. Art.
We started
this with what we actually did.
Yeah,
we did.
We're really going to try to go out of our way not to get into politics and religion, because let's face it, I don't want to talk about it. These guys don't want to talk
nope.
about it. And some will argue that, you know, as artists, it's our duty to represent the views of the culture and the society, and that includes, of course, art and our religion and politics.
I mean, I inevitably bring things like that into my work, but I personally, for myself, in my own work, a lot of the times I start from a place of just good, solid design. If I'm going to make something, I want it, even if to someone who does not know anything about me, I want them to at least be able to recognize solid craftsmanship and good design.
Right.
And I think that is going to be more universal than a political statement or a religious statement or a personal statement.
So you're saying the fact that I don't see any screws in your work and you found ways to use butt joints and glue and I just watched this whole thing on woodworking last weekend.
Apparently.
And let me tell you, dude.
You're using some good terms.
This
here.
Guy, to avoid screws.
Did you watch The Woodwright Shop?
Yes. Something like, yeah. Dude, this guy goes like out of his way to avoid using a single screw.
Roy
like
Roy Underhill. Yeah,
he's got a Boston accent. I don't have cable.
No. You're talking about Norm Abrams.
No, it's not Norm. I know
of the New Yankee Workshop.
No, it's definitely not Norm. This was a younger guy built. It was the Woodworking Magazine has a show, I guess.
I don't think it's either one of them.
Yeah,
they're both pretty old.
It doesn't matter.
So what you're saying to me is good craftsmanship is more important than any social political thing you can say.
I think it's more universal.
I can agree with that.
I honestly think if I couldn't read,
it doesn't ostracize anybody. Anybody can look on something and say that's aesthetically pleasing or that's not aesthetically pleasing.
And I mean, like, I'm not just. I mean, people have
pleasing.
People have a broad range of tastes, and you know, a can of Campbell's soup could appeal to one person,
right.
while a giant formaldehyde shark could appeal to another person. But solid craftsmanship is one of those things that you can look at something and you can see that someone put the time and effort to make it well.
Right.
And I think any that transcends any language barrier, any political, socioeconomic barrier.
I'm not going to talk about my work. I will say
that's fine.
That yeah, there's,
don't talk.
There's
what?
there's some matter of political commentary that goes into some of my work, especially the illustrative stuff. It's more quickly fleshed out that way, the concepts and stuff that are social political in nature. Otherwise, my work tends to be short series based concepts.
Right.
Like I'll come up with a series based off of a concept. I will issue an amount of time to, you know, work out five to seven pieces, and then I'll be done with it. I'll move on to the next thing. I'll get bored with it, or I'll run out of ideas and decide to come back to it later. So at the moment, I have probably 8 or 9 separate series that are in progress.
Right.
That goes the same for sculpture and illustration and painting. Are we to comment on
comment
each
away.
Other's?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Discussion. Okay. I think it's interesting. Richard, you were talking about the amount of concept that goes into a piece and how people will buy anything, but at the same time, they won't buy anything.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned the formaldehyde shark and had a seizure of some sort. I feel you on that, totally. And it's always bugged me from the moment that I stepped foot into art school, the moment that I stepped out. It's always bugged me the fact that concept doesn't necessarily hold the same weight as compassion or effort.
Yeah.
People will pay top dollar for concept when it was controversial during a certain time period. And they will pay nothing for concept when it means the most in a modern sense.
Oh, you know what? I agree with that. And I'm going to talk in a happier voice.
Please do.
There you go. No, I agree with that. I did an animation. The assignment once was just say something. This was 2008 when gas was, you know, $4 a gallon in Greenville. Yeah, it got up to five bucks. So this animation was all about natural resources and like depleting gas and, you know, fossil fuels and essentially drilling into the earth to get the fossil fuels, in which the animation consisted of like the globe and like these giant tubes that were sucking essentially energy out of the globe, and it would go into this crazy machine mechanism thing, and it was to at the apex of the machine was a gas nozzle, and from the gas nozzle would just drop a bead of gasoline every 2 seconds, and that bead of gasoline would fall on a lit candle, and the more the gasoline dripped on the candle burned faster, and the whole thing was like essentially obviously. You know, I think it's pretty obvious. It was all a metaphor for we're using our fossil fuels and resources, and we're burning the candle from both ends. And at the time, because it took so fucking long for me to make this, when the first original concept, gas was at $4.50, and everybody was talking about we're reusing all our natural resources. That's why gas is so expensive. And oh my god, you might as well start like your own gas silos. Save it now because it's gonna be $8 in 2 years. By the time I finished it, gas dramatically dropped, and then like everybody was exposed for just, you know, artificially inflating the gas prices, and gas went down to like $1 and change, like $2, and it was back to like a normal thing. And so by the time I actually had to present the stupid friggin' animation, everybody watching went, what's your point? And I'm like, but remember like 2 weeks ago when this was like a fucking problem? All of a sudden it's not a problem anymore. So I guess like all the work that I had put in, I mean, if you wrap too much metaphor in it, especially if it's a social political move, it could ultimately die an earlier death. and not really get the credit that it deserved because you based your whole concept around current events. Dude, this is I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I think the conversation's good, but last one was a lot more fun. Shit. People are like fucking feeding their minds on this one.
It's natural when you start talking about art.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's something that all three of us hold very passionately. And I know that, like, one thing for me, one of the things that I just, like, for me personally is when I realized how important that strong form, that strong craftsmanship was evident was when I was in my art history classes. And I'm like, we're studying these things. While, yes, we're studying what happened at the time, we're paying closer attention to how they did it. How they were able to create these layers, these textures, how they were able to sculpt these pieces and paint these works and the techniques they used. Like, that's what scientists, like art historians and scientists are interested in, is how they were able to do it. We were not as concerned about why they did it. We aren't there right now. We're not living at that time. So that's not as pertinent to us. What is important is how, at that time, with their technology, they were able to create this work that's able to transcend all of that and still be important to us.
I can totally get behind what you're saying. I'm a firm believer that no amount of concept can make up for lack of quality, effort, or compassion in a piece.
Yeah.
If it boils down to, if the work is shit, it's shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
I totally agree.
Yeah, there's this fine line between art and business.
There is.
It's a very fine line between art and business. And in the end, for an art dealer and a gallery, I mean, you're pushing a product.
I don't consider myself an artist. I don't call myself an artist. I call myself a designer. And the reason I do that, other than, you know, I mostly work digital and I create graphics for a means to an end, is I just think the word artist is a sticky trap. There's a lot of stigma. There's a lot of psychology. There's a lot of, to say you're an artist, you gotta come with it.
Yeah.
And I say I'm a designer, you know, and that's not to downplay artists and it's not to downplay designers. Nah. It's just saying, like, there's personal pride in my work and there's some kind of psychology in the sense, especially when it comes to branding and marketing, a lot of that has to do with psychology, especially when you're selling a product. But a designer can incorporate emotion, but to have a successful design, you don't have to invoke an emotion to have that. With an art piece, it's not necessary, but more likely that an art piece will invoke an emotion intentionally. Where if, you know, a design invokes an emotion, it could be, you know, just a happy, you know,
outcome. I agree with you on the artist's sticky title. I very rarely refer to myself as an artist. I call myself a sculptor. I kind of think of that as because I see myself as a very blue collar, down to earth.
Right.
Like, I get dirty when I make my work.
I don't see too many guys on the construction site with the Dali mustache you're rocking right now.
For those of you that can't see, I have no mustache very much. I am, however, wearing a lovely flannel. And yes, I do have plastic rim glasses, but that's because they're the cheapest fucking glasses.
They're
you can
very
buy.
Warhol, man.
You cannot beat $20 for a pair of glasses. Right.
No,
anyway,
it's more Alton Brown.
I mean, generally, you know, if I actually tell someone, like if I met someone in a bar and I told them I'm a sculptor, the first thing they ask is, "Well, what do you do?" And what's great with that? Well, I actually don't mind it. I enjoy it because it does. It invites a conversation. I actually get to explain to them everything that is involved, at least for me, in my particular sculpture. I mean, we're talking, for me, it's woodworking, it's metalworking, it's forging, it's, you know, I mean, all this great range of skills.
It's just the term sculptor. I mean, you're talking about somebody that's capable of utilizing a tool.
Looks like, again, the wrap it up sign digitally. You know, I remember we started this podcast with an actual sign-off, but I believe the conversation and the booze may have made the sign-off go the way of the buffalo. Does anybody remember what we said? Write it in the comments and remind us so that on the third episode...
Well, we'll do it. We'll rewind. We'll just rewind the tape and listen to it.
Oh, god damn, dude. This is so boring. I'm not fucking listening
to
it.
Yeah,
right. Oh, my god. No. It was good. It was definitely... it definitely adds some more layers to the conversation. The first one's all fun and games, and the second one, there's a little more heart and a little more intellect behind it, and I think... I think the listeners will appreciate
that.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.
The next one will be better.
It will be better. Hey, the last like 3 minutes is great. Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll see you next time.